Welcome to Philadelphia.
Thank you.
And you've been a frequent guest here.
Yes, since 2005 we have our relationship with the orchestra, which has developed into friendship.
Could we talk a little bit about this program this weekend?
So if we take Bach as the backbone of this program, and of course in today's world it's something uncommon, relatively uncommon, for symphony orchestras to perform Bach's music, because Bach has become the territory of the period performers. And it's a wonderful thing to have the accessibility for the audience to the old instruments and the historically informed performance practice styles. But it's, on the other hand, feels some kind of deprivation that the symphony orchestras are not allowed to play Bach anymore. And I think we have got away from those, let's call it Stokowski days, when Bach for symphony orchestra was something megalomaniac-like with huge forces. But not only Stokowski, let's not forget that people like Mahler and Schoenberg made their own arrangements of Bach's music. And they're very interesting, but I think they tell us more about those composers like Mahler and Schoenberg or Webern than about Bach himself. So we are trying to play Bach on modern instruments, but in a historically informed manner. So some of the bow strokes we're using, of the articulation and ornamentation, resemble the period performances, in particular the orchestral suite.
And then putting it together with Strauss and Mahler, is the goal to show both the influence of Bach and the differences and how it's developed?
Well, I think it's inevitable that the influences of Bach will be shown in completely different ways. While Strauss is more interested in the concerto-type competition between the orchestra and the soloist. And obviously this is an early work by Strauss when he was still very influenced by Johannes Brahms. So the influence of Bach comes more through the mediation of Johannes Brahms. While in Mahler, you can already hear Mahler's vivid interest in polyphony. Mahler at one point of his life said, "My music does not contain any harmony. Everything it is there is polyphony." So whatever harmonic progressions there are, they are never used by Mahler consciously as a form-building mean. They are a result of concoction of voices, which are created by following through the horizontal lines, the individual lines of the instruments, which is very much the 18th century approach. Obviously, Mahler takes it to extremes which border almost on the atonality. And this particular piece we're playing, Die Totenfeier, is a very interesting example. It was written in 1888, so it certainly belongs to the earliest compositions Mahler has left. He was 28 years of age when he wrote it. This is the period of the First Symphony, and it was initially intended as the first movement of a symphony, of a new symphony. But then Mahler wasn't sure whether this symphony would ever be performed, so he decided to take this first movement and use it as a separate tone poem in the manner of Franz Liszt. Eventually, it has made its way into the Second Symphony. It has become one of the most famous first movements Mahler has ever written. So those people who are acquainted with the Second Symphony by Mahler will inevitably hear this is it. But there are differences. There is, in fact, more music in Die Totenfeier than in the first movement of the Second Symphony. It's slightly longer.
Really?
And some of the harmonic clashes which you hear in a much more soft-grained, I would say, luxuriously wrapped and masterfully orchestrated form in the symphony, here are stripped down to the bare essence. It's a much smaller orchestra Mahler operates with. It's a normal triple woodwind, four horns, three trumpets, three trombones, tuba. Compare it with the size of the Second Symphony, which has got as many as 10 horns and six or seven trumpets and quadruple wind. Still, it's the same music, and this music makes one think that Mahler at one point was a pupil of Anton Bruckner's. So the connection with Bach comes not only directly through Mahler's interest in Bach music, but is also because Mahler has, as a composer, he has been influenced strongly by Bruckner, especially in the early period. He's been influenced by Mendelssohn. There is one particular episode where solo English horn is playing with the accompaniment of strings, and at one point the English horn and bass clarinet are playing in unison, accompanied by the strings, and that sounds almost like a quotation from the slow movement of Mendelssohn's Italian symphony. But again, all the composers I've mentioned here, Bruckner, Mendelssohn, Brahms in connection with Richard Strauss's Burlesque, they were all learning from Bach. Mind you, Mozart was learning from Bach. You can immediately hear it in the interest in polyphonic density in Mozart's last symphonies. So exactly the same style is then translated into the late 19th century by Mahler, who already has got the experience of Mozart and Mendelssohn and Brahms and Bruckner. So all this coming together and leading us all the way into the 20th century shows that Bach remains the seminal presence in the great classical traditions today.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.